I'm Mike.
And I'm Laura.
And you're listening to 10 Years of This Week in Geek.
Hey, this is Dave Brenner from Theory of a Dead Man. And you're listening to This Week in Geek.
Did you grow up with the NES, PlayStation, Star Wars, cartoons, and 80s TV? Do you like to think who would win in a fight between Batman and the Master Chief? Comics, games, movies, music, and TV. We're gonna tell you everything you need. Superheroes or not, they got your back. They're gonna save the world of geeks. Comics, games, movies, music, and TV. They're gonna tell you everything you need. Superheroes or not, they got your back.
Hello and welcome to the Nerd News Network here on This Week in Geek. I'm, of course, TFG and Mike. This is the Nerd News Universe, whatever we're calling it now, episode 24. Joining me, as usual, the Gravy Moose. Hello, sir.
Hello, hello.
And Mr. Christopher. Hello.
Hello. Is it really 24 already?
Yep.
Wow.
When you do a weekly thing, it adds up really fast. Yep. Absolutely, it is 24. Mike Dodd is off on assignment somewhere looking at, I don't have any idea. So
in another land somewhere.
Yeah, he's watching immortal samurais eating bananas or some stupid crap like that. Who knows?
That sounds about right.
Yeah, huh? Yeah. I'm sure that's not all they're doing with those bananas, but then again, it is Mike, so.
Actually, just talking about bananas and he gets grossed out now.
So, it is time for some
random news notes.
So, a quick follow-up to last week for the Starsky and Hutch thing. I was going to do this down in the TV section, but I'm just going to do it here. James Gunn's Starsky and Hutch series is based on the 70s cop drama. It's been nabbed by Amazon, so it will be on Amazon. So we have that information now. Though it is being called a reboot by the trades at the moment, in that it's a new version of the TV series that ran from 1975 to 1979, Gunn says it's a continuation of the idea. He said, "I started writing down some outlandish ideas for how we could handle Starsky and Hutch today. Ideas that would be exciting and different and not at all what people expect. This would not be a reboot or a remake, but a continuation of the original series that would deconstruct the buddy cop show in a fun way, like Guardians of the Galaxy did with the space opera. It would honor the genre while turning it inside out, and it would definitely not be a spoof like the 2004 Starsky and Hutch movie. It would be gritty and driven by both characters and high stakes. You can posted the link and whatever else." I don't mind them doing continuation series. Like, we had Boy Meets World and we had Girl Meets World. We had Knight Rider Classic and we had Knight Rider 2008. So continuation series, I'm perfectly fine with. Reboots, remakes, whatever. Oh, hell no. Die in a fire.
In this case, can it really be a continuation if none of the original actors are coming back? Point, I go, the description sounds like a good show, but why did it have to be called Starsky and Hutch? It's just because it'll get an extra 10% of people watching it on TV because of the name? Like, couldn't it have been any cop show named anything else?
Yeah, probably could have been.
It feels it'd be very difficult to find a way to make it feel like it. Yeah, this is pretty much Starsky and Hutch. This is in that same universe without it being some cheese element, like, oh yeah, it's their sons.
Unless it's just literally they're making it a period piece in the 70s.
Maybe, I'm not sure.
I could buy that.
Yeah.
If they did that, then I could sort of see it. Yeah. So I mean, I'm still somewhat optimistic because so far, Amazon next to Netflix has had the best quality of these direct-to-streaming shows. Mm. So, could be good.
Could be. And then sadly, folks, we lost more people this week. The $6 Million Man, the actor who played the $6 Million Man, has passed away. Richard Anderson died at age of 91. The crazy thing is, I remember him as the doctor in the pilot of Knight Rider more than the $6 Million Man. He was the doctor that removed Hasselhoff's bandages after he had the facial reconstruction surgery in Night of the Phoenix.
He's not the $6 Million Man. He's the guy that paid for it, I think.
No, he's the guy that played him.
No, that's Lee Majors.
Oh, then what the heck? It says $6 Million Man actor Richard Anderson died.
Yeah. Of the show, not
yeah. Oh, not, he's not the actual guy.
No, okay, he's from the show. Because I'm like, Lee Majors, I'm pretty sure, is still alive.
Okay. Yeah.
This is
co-star in something.
This is one of those cases where it's like, I would have heard this news, and it probably would have been bigger. But it's like...
Oh, it was you. It was everywhere. Like, I saw it.
But like, I'm looking and like... Lee Majors is like 15 years younger than that. So, So he's the guy that ran the program.
Yeah.
Same answer that I've been giving you for the past 4 days. He's probably the only human being on this planet who's in worse condition than you are.
Is he going to die?
He should have. That bullet was fired point blank right into his skull.
How did he survive?
The man has a metal plate in his forehead. You see? Probably military surgery, I would guess. It deflected the bullet, which was heading right toward his brain. It came back out through his face. We'll never know what he looked like.
Keep fighting. Keep you living just like me.
So, and then we lost, I just had his name. Walter Becker of Steely Dan. So, yeah. And I'm like, I know I've heard Steely Dan's music, and I was like, wait, oh, that song. And you're going to hear that next, folks.
Gathering up the tears. Have you had enough of mine? a genius since you were 17. In all the time I've known you, I still don't know what you mean. The weekend at the college didn't turn out like you planned. The things that pass for knowledge I can't understand. Are you reeling in the years, stowing away the time? Are you gathering up the tears? Have you had enough of mine? Are you reeling in the years, stowing away the time? Are you gathering up the tears? Have you had enough of mine?
All right, we've got our snacks and all that other stuff, and it is time for some movie news. Alex, what do you got?
For the movie news, I have... There's a movie coming out called Immortal Samurai. It's from director Takashi Miike. I might be pronouncing that wrong. In fact, I'm pretty certain I'm pronouncing that name wrong. It's another crazy Japanese name I can't pronounce. Anyway... he's a director that I remember back in high school. He was one of these guys that came out with over-the-top violent movies that you know, a 14-year-old kid is like, oh, I want to see that. Crazy, you know, limbs getting chopped off in samurai movies, blood spraying everywhere. He had done, this guy apparently has done, I'm going to say it was something ridiculous, like a couple hundred movies he's directed in the last, like, 30, 40 years. But yeah, it's something crazy. But this is an adaptation of a comic book manga series called Blade of the Immortal. And there's a trailer release for it, and it looks pretty freaking badass. It just go watch it. Seriously. That's all I have to say.
Cool.
For what I'm seeing, it's the... I don't want to say stereotypical, but the classic slice a bunch of body parts off stuff.
Yeah, like it has a very Kill Bill vibe, only what Kill Bill was paying homage to, right? Like this is what would have been.
Yep. Awesome. And then we got the Empire magazine cover for Star Wars: The Last Jedi.
It's a good choice of magazine for that one.
Yes, exactly. And it also shows off Snoke's ship, and it shows off one of the covers is I assume it's Rey handing Luke the lightsaber, and it's got his little robotic hand there. So that was kind of cool, and Snoke's ship looks pretty impressive.
So well, it was Force Friday 2
past Friday. Yeah.
I work in a retail store, so I got to take a look at a whole bunch of the toys that came out, mostly the Lego stuff, and it looks pretty cool overall. They've done a much better job of making sure that there's a good representation of a lot of the characters you'll find. They actually managed to get Rey's likeness down pretty pat. Because mm-hmm. I don't know if you remember the first Force Friday, but it just couldn't quite get her look.
And it was weird. I remember everybody was really mad about that.
They either didn't have her at all, or she looked wrong. But it looks like they've managed to do it this time.
Yeah. It was so funny after that, after I had seen the article here about Empire and all that with the magazine or whatever else. Before that, I saw Mark Hamill post to Twitter and Facebook, oh, I wish I could find one, and it's of his Black Series figure, his Star Wars Black Series figure, of old Luke. Of course, you know, they probably sent him one. I mean, come on!
You'd think so.
I mean, you know. So, yeah. All right. Any other... Did you guys see any other movie news pop up this week that was of, like, major mention?
There's been some movie trailers popping up here and there, but nothing... I would say that popped out into my head as being must see or must know. And it's, I think we're still sort of reeling from the whole worst weekend in box office history sort of thing that happened last week.
Yeah, pretty much everything I'm seeing on social media and a lot of other major conglomerate websites is everything is it. Because that's the only major release happening right now. So that's all anyone's talking about.
Yeah, basically saying it like, is that going to save the, you know, the month sort of thing?
No, it's not.
Not alone. It's,
no.
It's a bit of a niche movie. It's really made for people who like horror movies, people who like the original It. So and, it's going to do well, but it's not going to be like, boom, the best movie of 2017.
Yeah, R-rated horror films can make money, but they're not making $1 billion.
Mm-hmm. No, and they're not winning awards.
Definitely not.
Best cinematography goes to Freddy vs. Jason. No.
Like the last time that a horror movie I think was even considered for anything was The Shining.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, I just don't care about it. Like the first movie was, the original movie was fine. Ugh, remakes.
It's, you know what it is? It's all the hype because Stranger Things was such a huge hit on Netflix.
And I still have not watched that. I'm not a horror guy, and I know everyone that says, oh, well, it doesn't matter if you're not a horror guy or not. You'll still like the show.
It has some horror elements, but it's more, it's Goonies meets Dungeons & Dragons meets a little bit of horror. That's pretty much, I say give the first episode a shot. You're not going to lose anything watching it.
Yeah, I'll lose that 56 minutes or however the hell long they are.
Yeah, but I'm thinking
it'd be worse than Iron Fist.
I was going to say, and it's not going to hurt your brain. It won't hurt your brain watching it.
That's going to be the new basis for everything here at This Week in Geek when it comes to television, folks. It can't be worse than Iron Fist.
Exactly. I get one Iron Fist out of five.
Is that good or bad, though?
Like Rotten
Tomatoes. I don't even want to know. All right, grab those air guitars because it's time for some
music news.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, it's been a little over a week since Hurricane Harvey has hit the southern part of the United States, Texas and Louisiana and all of that. And there's just so much news coming out of that. And we wish everybody, you know, speedy recovery and all of that and everything else. The reason why I'm bringing this up is because Billy Gibbons, the one of the lead members of ZZ Top, is going to be doing a fundraising show for the hurricane relief stuff. And I love it when musicians do this. I mean, generally they do this anyway, but like the fact that this devastating thing has happened to Texas and Louisiana and things like that. The article says, Gibbons spoke with Rolling Stone about the show, which is scheduled to take place on September 10th at the Smart Financial Center in Sugar Land. While the money and the band raises can only hope to cover a fraction of the storm's massive financial toll, the guitarist anticipates a tough road to climb the wreckage. He sounded an upbeat note regarding the resiliency of his fellow Texans. So, I mean, you know, it's basically a hometown guy coming back and helping out, and that's always a good thing, I think. You know, and let's face it, those people down there need all the help they can get. And, I mean, it's ZZ Top. Who wouldn't want to go to a benefit concert put on by ZZ Top?
Agreed.
Back to the Future 3, after all. I mean, come on.
Is that the guy that looks like you?
Yeah, funny. Not anymore.
I was going to say, I thought you were getting ready for Halloween. You could have just, like, cosplayed as them. Made a whole bunch of money signing things.
Nobody can see my middle finger, but, you know, it's basically... anyway.
Well, it's got a guitar spinning on the end 3? Of it.
What'd you say, Justin?
Weren't you in Back to the Future 3?
No, sadly I wasn't. I wish I was.
Me too. Yeah. Be living off that money forever.
Oh my god, yes. But yeah, no, I've had a haircut since then, so yeah, I don't. I'm not Mountain Manish anymore. At least not until, what is that, 4 months? So not until Christmas. Anyway.
No shave November coming up.
Are you sure you can't just like do like a Family Guy thing where you just blow into your thumb and the hair grows?
Family Guy is the worst cartoon in history, so yeah, no. All right, grab those remote controls, because it's time for some...
TV news.
All right, Tristan, what is Neil Gaiman up to now?
So Neil Gaiman's Likely Stories is coming to Shudder. Actually, it's already here. And to be honest, I didn't know what Shudder was before this, but apparently it is a streaming service focused entirely on horror films. So I want to check that out if I can. I'm in Canada, so I don't know if I can. We'll see. Anyway, Neil Gaiman is perhaps best known as the author for American Gods and Coraline, and now all 4 chapters of his Likely Stories series are released as short film adaptations. Shudder describes it as adapted from Gaiman's Dark Tales, this collection of distinct, odd, and brilliant short stories is both cinematic and strange. In each film, each character is compelled to share their story, and we're drawn into their very act of telling tall tales. While each episode has its own lead character, they are backed by an ensemble cast to play across all 4 bold and original films. The stories are set in London and will blend reality and fantasy. As Halloween is fast approaching, it sounds like these stories and Shudder as a whole are just the right kind of thing to get into that Halloween spirit. So I want to take a look at this. I want to see what it's like. I want to see what all of Shudder is like, see if I can find something maybe I haven't seen before in horror stuff.
Yeah, I wonder if they give it like a free month to try it out or something.
Yeah. I've never heard of it before at all, so I just started looking it up, and it looks like a good idea for people who like the horror genre, and it's a perfect time of year for it.
Very cool, very cool. Awesome. And my TV story of the week, The Simpsons has fired composer Alf Clausen. He worked on the show for God knows how long as the composer, musical guy, all that stuff. Anytime you hear the Simpsons theme music, whether it's the beginning theme, any of the background music in anything of the, over the last almost 30 years, Alf Clausen is the guy who actually did it. And from looking at the article on Variety.com, the show people or whoever, I don't remember the actual name, but basically they said they want to take the music in a different direction now. It's The Simpsons! How the hell are you going to take the music in a different direction?
It's a direction that we don't have to pay that guy 25 years worth of royalties.
I'll interject that The Simpsons theme song was Danny Elfman. Other than that, it's all Alf Clausen.
The incidental music and everything.
You're right.
You cut out the orchestra now. It's all going to be synthesized. It's cost. It's going to be crap.
Because when somebody's been writing or making music for a show that long, every couple of years they're signing a new contract where they get an increase. So it's probably a third of the cost to get somebody else.
Yeah.
As bad as that sounds.
Yeah, and that's... Well, and like you said, they don't have to pay him royalties anymore. I mean...
Exactly, from anything this far on.
Technically, I would think, though, if they're constantly in syndication, the older episodes, I would still think he would get a cut of that.
Oh, those probably, yeah.
Yeah, but anything new, no. Anything new, no, obviously not. But the older stuff, But, like, seriously, folks, really?
I can see there being a dramatic shift in the tone of The Simpsons, and I don't think Simpsons can really handle that much of a shift.
No,
It's already on shaky ground now. It's just going to coast into obscurity from here on out.
Yeah.
Because aren't they entering year 30 this year, or is it next year?
Mm-hmm. Something like that.
I think it's 28 or 29 now.
Yeah.
So they
because 89 is year 30, yeah. So this is like 28.
Do you think they go to 30 and call it quits?
I hope.
I'd like to see that. And then coming back and maybe doing specials and that sort of thing in the future, I can see them doing that for
like
sure.
Like Futurama sort of thing?
Yeah, little short things, or they'll do their Treehouse of Horror, because everybody still likes that, even though it's lost its message.
Mm.
But I can see them doing little bit things for quite some time.
I was really hoping 10 years ago the show would be gone after the big movie. I mean, I like The Simpsons movie. I do. I don't dislike it. But even 10 years ago, The Simpsons was on a slow decline. And
I think I remember hearing that they said they wouldn't do a movie until the show was ended.
A long time ago. Yeah.
Well, at the end of the movie, it says, you know, Maggie pulls out her pacifier and whatever else, and it says, "We promise we won't wait another 20 years to make another movie." Well, you're 10 years on, folks. You got 10 years to go to give us another damn movie. But it's one of those things where, honestly, I have not watched a Simpsons episode since they did the one about the Boston fans. All of that. I forget which episode. It was in the last two or three years.
I watched Treehouse of Horror, and that's it.
Yeah,
I skim through whenever new episodes come out, and they're really, really hit or miss now. More misses than hits.
Yeah, I haven't faithfully watched The Simpsons since right after the movie launched. So it's been 10 years since I've faithfully watched The Simpsons, and I grew up on that shit. I mean,
Well, Tristan and I were a year old when it started, so we've never known a world without Simpsons.
Exactly.
Lucky bastards.
So it's every year there's Simpsons. So it's in the back of our mind. Simpsons is eternal for us. So when it ends, it'll be probably a bigger impact on those of us that were either born right when it started, or the kids that were born after, let's say the 90s kids. The new younger kids now aren't going to care because they're just going to catch up watching however many hundreds of episodes on streaming services. But like the kids that grew up in the 90s that were little kids, like they were really attached to it during the peak of the show, right? You know, 90, let's say 91 to like 98, 99, something like that.
Yeah. See, yeah. I was 9 when the show debuted. And I stopped watching faithfully by the time I was 14 or 15, so that was 94, 95.
Right, actually, at the peak of the show's writing.
Right, so. But, I mean, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, for me, as a kid back then, you know, I kind of fell off. And you're right, the peak of the show's writing and things was 90, was, you know, 89, 90, 91 to, through 98. You know, and it's just... it's just sad that it's gone so far downhill. All right. The only reason why I even want you to do this story, Alex, is because there's an episode of Justice League where we end up in a... it's called the Savage Time three-parter, where Vandal Savage screws time up and we end up seeing a resistance fighter Batman. So tell us about the Nazi superhero video game TV show thing.
Okay. Well, it seems to be a relatively new but awesome thing where we're getting, I guess Guardians of the Galaxy did it first with that trailer they made for the Blu-ray coming out. That was the music video with Hasselhoff and just, you know, random sort of... funny pop culture-y sort of things used to market a different product altogether, right? Like that was a, there was no reason for that music video to be made. They could have just easily had thrown up a trailer just saying that, hey, the Blu-ray's coming.
Mm-hmm.
So now, whoever's in charge of marketing with I guess it would be, is it id Software that makes the Wolfenstein games? I think. Mm-hmm. Whoever, yeah. I don't know, it's Bethesda, I think, that publishes it now. So, they've decided to market the new video game, the New Order. I guess it's the second or third game in the reimagined Wolfenstein series, with a alternate 1950s-60s. You know, what would the Batman show be, or the 66 Batman show intro be, with if the Nazis had taken over, and it was, you know, a Nazi superhero taking on. Caricatures of I guess American patriotism.
So, wow.
Yeah, and you know, complete with the whole, you know, na-na-na-na-na-na Batman song, but done a little different, just a bit. Pretty much. And but it has that the cartoon style. It, maybe it's animated by the same people. It looks like the people that did those Adult Swim remakes of. Like Space Ghost, Coast to Coast, and Harvey Birdman, Attorney at Law. It has that sort of...
Novels.
Yeah, it has those shows that... the almost like a Filmation look.
Okay.
So, it's definitely worth checking out. Again, just sort of a neat little nod that... you know, if companies start putting out more and more of these sort of ads, instead of trying... It's they're organically creating viral media, right? Like, they may not have the intent of permeating pop culture as much as they are doing this, but like these are the little things that really get to the younger generation, that, you know, the Reddit generation, right? They get to see a 2-minute, you know, random ridiculous clip that they can laugh at and talk about nonstop, and then at the end they just throw up saying it's part of the game.
Yeah. Yeah, I
it's worth a watch. It's worth watching. Just yeah. You know, forget the Nazi part of it. Well, actually, no, don't forget the Nazi part. Just, you know what
I'm saying.
Don't
think too hard about it.
Yeah. Yeah. Turn your brain off and watch this. Yeah.
Enjoy it for what it is, and don't think about what anything's trying to say, because I'm pretty sure it's not trying to say much of anything.
Yeah, no.
Precisely.
All right, let's grab those video game controllers, joysticks, and all that other stuff to get to some...
video game news.
All right, Tristan, Olympic video games?
Well, earlier this month, the Paris Olympic Bid Committee mentioned they wanted to talk to the International Olympic Committee about adding esports to the 2024 Olympic Games. Of course, this was quickly met with the usual video games aren't sports comments, but the idea wasn't completely ruled out. Unfortunately, the biggest damper on the idea came when the president of the International Olympic Committee says he wants the IOC to have nothing to do with violent games. He said, "We want to promote non-discrimination, non-violence, and peace among people. This doesn't match with video games, which are about violence, explosions, and killing. And there we have to draw a clear line."
Has this guy never seen Nintendo? I mean,
wait a second. Says the guy in charge of the organization that judges the world's best boxers, judo.
Like, there's no violence anywhere in the Olympics.
Oh, because there's no fighting. There's no violence in the boxing, or there's no violence in the Olympics originally being naked men fighting where they could punch each other in the balls. Like, that was legal moves back then. So, of course, you know, it's too violent.
Yeah, if you know anything about esports, you'll know that saying violent video games and that sort of thing are not accepted pretty much eliminates everything you think of when you say esports. Like, yeah. Overwatch, Counter-Strike, League of Legends, basically, Dota, Street Fighter, Smash Brothers, they're all gone.
This would be Nintendo quietly shuffling up and saying, "We have Splatoon."
Exactly. But that's still shooting stuff. It might not be
you're spraying ink. Or paint, right?
Yeah. You're inking each other, but that still might, you know, it construes a violent tone, and we don't condone that.
I was going to say Bomberman, but that doesn't work.
No, I don't think they'll accept bombs.
Competitive Tetris, maybe.
I think all that's left is really the actual sports games, like FIFA and NHL and NBA, and then you're just ending up really, really redundant because they're already there in real life. Yeah, I
mean, Dance Dance Revolution.
I'll go with that one. I mean, I couldn't do it, but I'll watch that.
Rock Band.
Competitive Rock Band.
The world's best fake rock star. I'm through with standing in line. The clubs I'll never get in. It's like the bottom of the ninth, and I'm never gonna win this. Life hasn't turned out quite the way I want it to be. Tell me what you want. I want a brand new house on an episode of Cribs, and a bathroom I can play baseball in, and a king size tub big enough for 10 plus me. For what you need, I'll need a credit card that's got no limit, and a big black gym with a bedroom in it. Gonna join the Mile High Club at 37,000 feet. Been done. I want a new tour bus full of old guitars. Mine star on Hollywood Boulevard. Somewhere between Cher and James Dean is fine for me. So how you gonna do it? I'm gonna trade this life for fortune and fame. I'd even cut my hair and change my name. Cause we all just wanna be big rock stars and live in hilltop buses driving 15 cars. The girls come easy and the drugs come cheap. Well, I'll stay skinny cause we just won't eat. Hang out in the coolest bars and the VIP with the movie stars. Every good gold digger's gonna wind up there. Every playboy bunny with a bleached blonde hair. And well, hey, I wanna be a rock star.
Ooh, insert Nickelback here.
I didn't say it. No, they play their instruments. Save that, because that's the last time I say anything nice.
I know, right? Oh, Lord. All right. So, yes, Olympic video games. Yeah, it's probably not going to happen.
I say eventually, but the IOC is the IOC, so hey. I wouldn't hold your breath just yet.
We are a very, 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 very long time away from the ratings of people watching and paying to see the Olympics goes down to the point where they have to introduce video games. The video game market is not nearly large enough, and the esports market is not nearly large enough to be part of the $1 trillion Olympics.
Mm. Yep. All right, Alex, what do you got from Capcom over there?
Well, looks like Capcom is getting on the retro bandwagon, where you've probably seen and heard of some games popping up where people are taking an indie game and porting it to a dead console and releasing a limited run of carts for it. Obviously, there's no tech support for the carts of the game systems anymore because they're long past their life cycle. But it's still something cool for a collector to have. So for the 30th anniversary of Street Fighter II, it might be Street Fighter as a whole, but it's 30th anniversary of Street Fighter, essentially. Capcom is releasing limited editions of 5,500 in the Super Nintendo carts of Street Fighter II. Just it'll be the same game that it always was, just in, you know, they have a red cart, they have a see-through cart, and it comes with a little collector's box showing off that essentially it exists, you know, to show off where their roots were with the series. I just think it's kind of neat. I didn't see any prices on it directly, but they're looking to ship at the end of the year.
Awesome.
Still, it's kind of neat to have on the shelf. Street Fighter II is available on every platform ever made. It's just, it would be kind of neat, you know, you go over to a friend's house and go, you want to play some Street Fighter II, and you pull out the see-through limited edition one. I know, I know Dodd is probably drooling right now.
Well, the IOC will ban that one too.
Yeah. Hey.
Too violent.
Get out of here, you stupid IOC people.
Yeah, out of all
the people in the IOC remind me of the people in the MPAA. Oh my god. Anyway.
Why don't we just stick ISIS on them?
Think of the children.
Think of the children.
Good lord. One last thing with that was out of the 5,500 limited edition ones, 1,000 orders at random will be swapped out with a Blanca glow-in-the-dark green one.
Oh, so cool!
You have no idea if you're going to get it. So it's really, it truly makes it a limited, you know, fun little thing. So there can't be scalpers. After the fact, there will be, right?
There's going to be plenty of scalpers beforehand.
Do it on purpose.
You can't. There's not going to be any bots that buy up all this stuff right away, not because you don't know if you're going to get one of the limited edition ones or not. So you just open up your box and you're going to have this cool, even more limited edition.
Yeah, that's awesome. Capcom, good on you, because that's really cool. Like, and again, you know, everybody's like, oh, 16-bit graphics. But it doesn't matter, because that's what we grew up with. That's how we got into, you know.
I go back all the time and play those games.
Yeah.
They're quick. You can put them on for 20 minutes and not have to worry, oh my god, I got to save my game.
You know, I know, right?
You throw them on, you have 10 minutes of fights, and you go, okay, I'm good.
Mm-hmm. You throw them on, you don't have to worry about trying to get an internet connection. They just fucking work.
they just work. There's no slowdown, except if you're playing, you know, Super Street Fighter 2 or one of the hacked games or something where there's slowdown. But, like, there's no load times. They just work or they don't. If they don't work, you blow on the cart, you put it in, and it works again.
No day one patches when you first get the game.
No accidental, you know, oh, power went out, it erased my save.
Speaking of day one patches, you ever get to play No Man's Sky yet?
Yeah, I got to play it a little bit, but honestly, after all the troubles I've gone through with that game, I got tired of it after 30 minutes, and, you know, maybe someday I'll go back, but it just, again.
Wait, did you pay $30 for 30 minutes of play?
So far, I still own it, so it's now in my backlog. I'm not going to give it the time of day right now. I'm just too mad at it.
Could we film a video of you lighting it on fire, please?
it's a digital copy, so I'm not sitting fire on my computer.
Could I set your computer on fire and film it?
I'll get back to you.
Oh, God. And, speaking of video games and things on fire and bridges and trolls and holy hell, what's Blizzard up to with their video game punishment?
Yes, well, dumpster fire, this is not. But there's always been a problem with the game Overwatch. It's not a common, or it's not an uncommon problem in competitive games. You'll see it in League of Legends. You'll see it in pretty much any competitive environment, player versus player game. People just kind of suck sometimes. And they'll do everything they can to make sure that your experience is as miserable as possible. So Blizzard Entertainment has vowed to crack down on those trolls in their game Overwatch with much harsher and faster penalties coming very soon. Right now, they use a temporary silence function for any sort of abusive chat. If you report it and the report goes through, then you get silenced for a short time. Instead, under the new system, you'll be immediately suspended when that report gets confirmed. So it's a much harsher penalty. Instead of being able to play and still be a dick, you just won't be able to play at all for a while. Wow. On top of this, they're looking to install a series of quickly escalating punishments to remove offensive players from competitive play. So it's not just abusive chat, you know, talking to people, telling them where their mother was, and et cetera, et cetera. There's also ways that you can play the game against what people want you to do, because it's a team-based game. You all have to pull your weight, and some people will deliberately do what they can to just screw it up for your entire team. That sort of play will be dealt with as well, with fast-escalating punishments. There's not really a lot of details as to what they would be, but I would imagine it would lead all the way up to being permanently banned from the game. There's also systems to put in place to prevent players from manipulating their matchmaking skill rating. Again, you know, they're not going to give details, because the more details they give, the more likely it is you'll be able to work around it.
Yeah.
But if you want to game the system, they'll be better able to catch you, and you'll get in trouble a lot faster. So hopefully those will improve the competitive environment. All of this comes after a discussion with in which the game's director, Jeff Kaplan, confirmed that one account has 2,247 separate complaints filed against it, which averages out to over 4 reports per day since the game was released. And with that number of reports, it has received 3 temporary suspensions and 7 chat silences. Oh, that's it. So they piss off 4 people or more per day for every day the game has ever been out, and they haven't been banned yet. They've just been suspended a couple times and then shushed a little bit. So that sort of problem is being addressed, hopefully, with these new systems. They're going to crack down. They're going to make sure that the game is more fun for people who want to just play the game and not be a complete ass to one another.
Mm-hmm. They should have a security measure with it where you have to plug this little adapter into your controller, and it puts 2 little electrodes on your ball sack so that when you're an asshole to people, it gives you a jolt.
Yeah, every report is just a little...
Oh, that's my God.
The other solution was hang him in the middle of the forest, you know, next to the No Man's Sky people in the desert.
Hang them all.
The gallows are getting awfully full with you here.
See, I have a better solution, and it just involves, you know, I guess what's it called?
A little taser to the nuts.
Yeah, nutrocution.
Yeah. Not tasering. Taser nuts. Yeah.
Yeah, taser nuts.
Oh boy, I have no idea what the title of this episode is going to be.
Taser nuts.
Nazi taser nuts.
Nutsack.
What's going on with Nintendo's indie titles, Alex?
Well, Nintendo's starting to do this thing where every 6 months they're going to be releasing a sort of showcase of what indie titles, or nindies as they call it, are going to be coming over to the Switch. Yeah, that's what the official name is, the Nindies. Sure.
I love it.
So this batch that came out, there was a bunch of little titles in there. I watched most of it, and some of it wasn't for me. Some of it was just like, yeah, it's on PC, or yeah, that's on mobile. There was a sequel to Super Meat Boy called Super Meat Boy Forever. Ooh. Looks interesting. Probably not going to play it. Too hard for me. I don't like games where it's just ridiculously hard. There's no point. Some people love that, but it's not for me. One called Kentucky Route Zero, which was sort of a weird action-adventure game. A game called Mulaka, which I think I'm pronouncing that right, because I don't think they said the name in the actual thing. They just showed it. And it's sort of a very artistic, I guess sort of like a God of War type game where you're beating up enemies and collecting things. But the few that really caught my eye was, there's a thing called Morphe's Law, which is a shooter, sort of like the Attack on Titan anime, where as you shoot your enemies, your body parts grow. You shrink their body parts and make your body parts grow. And eventually, the more you shoot, you can become these giant hulking, you know, monstrosities. And that's the point, is you end up growing so big. The point is to grow as big as you can, and then it's the end of the game. So, and as you get shot back, your body parts shrink.
So wait, if your body grows all the way to the end of the game, does it explode and the game's over now?
They didn't show that. But you look like this giant.
Shooting everybody in the dick.
That's the one thing I was looking at. I didn't see it.
The trolls are going to do.
I know, I didn't see it. I think what it does, if you shoot in that area, it just makes your abdomen, your main part of your body grow. Because it is Nintendo. It is. Oh yeah, it's Nintendo, and it looks. I believe that one is a console exclusive to them, so it's probably coming out on PC as well. Then there's Battle Chef Brigade, which is half dungeon crawling, hunting monsters, and then half Top Chef. You basically go into a dungeon, kill monsters, and then cook for people, and get judged on your cooking.
Oh my god,
that's kind of cool.
Yeah. Then there was the one that they showed off as being their big one was a sequel to the No More Heroes series. You know, that sort of, that really flashy series that was on the Wii. The guy that had like the fluorescent sword, lightning sword thing.
The fluorescent tube.
Yeah, yeah. So, but it doesn't, it looks like it's a bunch of mini games tied into where the animation's going to be all in that original style, but I think you're playing a bunch of smaller mini games that are probably more suited to the Switch's power level. But they haven't really shown gameplay. They just sort of showed a cinematic saying it's here. But the real story for me was a little game they showed in there called Golf Story. Literally golf, like, you know, normal golf.
Yeah.
But it's a role-playing game. It's an RPG where you're in a world and like here, I'll just read a bit of a synopsis for it. Sidebar Games is excited to announce Golf Story for Nintendo Switch. It's an exclusive, only available on that console, not on PC, not on anything else. Here are some things you can expect, or you can do in the game. You can tee up anywhere. You'll be surprised how many problems can be solved by hitting golf ball at them. Explore 8 unique environments, each with their own courses, towns, people, and secrets. Play through a dramatic story with a diverse cast of characters. Upgrade your golfer by completing challenges, solving puzzles, and buying new equipment. Round out your skill set with long driver tournaments, disc golf, mini golf, and Wii Links. Then go beyond golf with extra challenges like races, mowing, drone fights, and geocaching. Golf Story releases this summer, so it's coming out at the end of the summer, apparently. I think it was pushed back a little bit. Wow. But yeah. It looks like Earthbound or a Final Fantasy game on the Super Nintendo. I think Earthbound's probably the closest thing to it, but it's like a Super Nintendo role-playing game, but you play golf.
Yeah, it sounds like Kingdom Hearts, but with golf.
Sort of, yeah, but it's in that very 16-bit, you know, Super Nintendo look.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So you have an overworld, you have all this stuff, and it's just you play golf, and I'm like, that's taking a simple concept and going, hey, let's do something different with it.
Yeah, pretty much.
So I could see that as being something I pick up and play whenever.
Mm-hmm. All right, folks, it is time for some more
random news notes.
Okay, Tristan, so Skynet kills cancer?
Well, not so much Skynet, but there is another technology straight out of science fiction that has been developed. Nanomachines are coming to the fight against cancer. These little tiny machines, which you can fit 50,000 of across the width of a human hair, they are driven by light, and thanks to a motor made of rotor-like chains of atoms, they are able to spin 2 or 3 million times per second in order to drill right into cell membranes and either deliver drugs or kill a diseased cell directly. Looks like the nanomachines are able to kill cancer cells in as little as 60 seconds after being activated. So there's a lot of potential for this to be a wonderful technology in the fight against cancer. It's still pretty early on in testing. Right now it's experimenting on microorganisms and small fish. They're hoping to move up to the rodent level of testing and then clinical trials in humans if all the animal testing levels are successful. So it's a science fiction-based technology. It's something that's actually here now. And hopefully it'll be a powerful tool in the fight against the deadly disease of cancer.
So basically absolutely. good but also scary possibilities.
Yeah, when you consider what nanomachines can do and what kind of nefarious things they can be used for in some of the stories that people know now, there's potential. All the technology in the world in the wrong hands is a bad thing.
I would still like to say that a lot of that is speculation. I would say more people are likely to use it for good than bad.
Absolutely. And I see it being an expensive technology anyway. I can't imagine it being something that's cheap or easy to produce.
Yeah, that.
So, and so we got like 300 years till North Korea gets it, right?
Oh.
So we got time.
On that note, how about some Teenage Mutant Salmonella Turtles?
wait, what?
You heard me. Teenage Mutant Salmonella Turtles. So, I'm going to read this verbatim, folks, so I get it all correct. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention announced an investigation Tuesday into ongoing outbreak of rare subtype of Salmonella is linked to exposure to pet turtles. So far, the outbreak involves 37 cases of Salmonella enterica servor. I can't pronounce half this stuff, folks. Across 13 different states, which led to 16 people being hospitalized. Overall, 12 of the sickened people are children aged 5 or younger, an age group particularly vulnerable to bacteria. No deaths have been reported. With lab testing and epidemiological data and the CDC linked the outbreak to exposure to pet turtles or their habitats, the charmingly slow half-shelled reptiles are known carriers of Salmonella. Okay.
Wait. I have a very big question about this. Isn't Salmonella gotten from ingesting or having something inside of you? What are they doing with these pet turtles?
I don't know.
Like stop licking your turtle. Stop sitting on your turtle.
You know, they heard about, you know, licking a frog's back making you high, and they just kind of extrapolated it from there. Like, oh, maybe if I lick my turtle, I'll get...
Because that's what I'm thinking. It has to be... You only get that kind of bacteria three ways. In the mouth, up the butt, or with sex. So... And I'm willing to bet that the five-year-olds aren't doing the third. So either somebody's sitting on their turtle, or they're ingesting the turtle, or licking it. So I'm thinking licking is probably the main thing.
That is probably the most intellectual way you've worked butt sex into this podcast.
I try, folks. I try.
Stick it in your half shell.
Oh, no. Does the phrase "go suck a lemon" hold any meaning for you?
Next.
It's next.
So, Alex, tell us about the crazy medical code, seeing as how we're talking about diseases.
Okay, we'll move to medical codes. So, just a little funny little quick thing I read on Ars Technica, that there are some crazy medical codes out there. You know, the medical codes, like, or think of it like police codes. It's like, you know, this is a code for breaking and entering. This is a code for murder. This is a code for that. And medical codes are the same thing. You'll hear like, oh, it's a code this when you're being brought into a hospital and they have to relay the information as to, you know, why you're there so they can properly triage you and figure out what they need to do with you. Well, yep. There's a book that's been published about what's common and what's not common. And some of the crazy ones out there, are kind of surprising. Where was the one here that I saw? There's 25,000 people experienced a W2203, which is a code for walked into furniture. So it's just like bang. Basically, that's like stub toes, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Then there's 1,700 people had a W5522 struck by cow.
What the hell?
And how about 200 people, only 200 in the States, had W6132, which is struck by chicken. I'm thinking all of those people went out and thought they could be Link from Zelda and start smacking the chickens till they got attacked.
Lick this finger, you assholes. Yeah.
700 people had a W5511 bitten by a horse, which is terrifying when you think about it.
Oh, jeez.
You know, 300... I can say, honestly... At age 10, I almost got bit by a horse. Even just almost. It's terrifying. So, yeah, I can imagine that. Go ahead. What's next?
But here's the funny thing. So, 700 people got bit by a horse, right? 10,600 people received a W503, accidental bite by another human. So more people were admitted to the hospital from being bit by humans in a factor of almost more than 10 times the amount than people bit by a horse.
Wow.
Accidentally bit by another human. How does that happen?
Yeah. Like, seriously.
I slipped and I fell and I bit my friend.
Yeah, there's your standard ones like contact with a powered lawnmower, nail guns, contact with workbench. Those are just workplace incidents usually, right? But then how about 600 people that had a W-261, contact with sword or dagger, like it's 400 years ago.
Wait, how many people?
600. Almost as many as people that were bit by horses.
Two a day.
More people,
sword or dagger.
More people were hurt with a sword or dagger. Actually, three times as many than were attacked by chickens.
Maybe it is Link.
That's what I'm saying. It's crazy. But how about this one? There's other ones. They didn't list the codes for them, but some of the craziest ones were tuberculosis, considering I thought tuberculosis was gone. Like, I thought we eradicated that. But how about this? Struck by orca. That means you were hit by a whale.
We need to find the nuclear vessels so we can save the whales.
Now they didn't list the code, but the craziest one that the person saw was the description was burn due to water skis on fire.
Oh, the irony. That's like rain on your wedding day.
If you're in that situation, you are living a crappy, unlucky life.
This is the interesting thing. That was common enough to create an official code for it.
Yeah, that's bad.
That means not one person, not two people. Enough people had it happen where they're like, oh, we have to have a code for this.
That is very, very bad. Oh my god! And apparently,
death by Nickelback, just from people having to stab their own ears.
Contact with dagger.
Yeah, that's what it is. That's what the sword and dagger one is. People falling on the sword when they
that's where all the accidental bites by other humans are.
Driven to madness over Nickelback.
Ladies and gentlemen, here's Nickelback's Something in Your Mouth.
It's human flesh.
This Week in Geeks Nerd News Network, now with even more Nickelback.
10 times as much accidental human bites.
Yep. Oh god. Alright, we are back here on the Nerd News Network. Alex, why is Amazon getting sued?
Well, they're getting sued, but they're not gonna pay. Just think about it. Morons, cheapskates, solar eclipse. Yeah. What comes to mind?
Eclipse glasses, yes.
Precisely, exactly.
Blindness.
So basically, a bunch of people are trying to make a class action lawsuit against Amazon for selling glasses that cause permanent blindness because they were cheap knockoff Chinese glasses. The reality is, they're not going to get their money they're hoping to get because they weren't Amazon branded, they weren't even Amazon certified ones that were sold. They were just a Chinese manufacturer that happened to be an Amazon partner was selling them, and they weren't proper. Well, you get what you pay for when you're paying like $1.50 for glasses that are supposed to protect you when everybody else was selling them for like $10. So
yeah.
In fact, Amazon, I'm pretty sure, you know, Amazon, Google, all the big companies were giving away free glasses at one point. So
yeah. I mean, as of this recording, we're recording this on Labor Day, Monday, September 4th, 2017, which if my grandfather had been alive, this would have been my mom's dad. This would have been his 100th birthday today.
Oh, wow.
So we're 2 weeks out of the damn solar eclipse. Can the solar eclipse story please die? I mean, seriously.
My argument is those people didn't deserve their eyes anymore. You're that dumb.
I had their time.
You're that dumb. You made your choice.
Video game hangings. Everybody else hangings on this side. Nobody deserves eyes from this.
I mean, look at your president. He looked directly at it, and he was fine.
Well, he was already fucked up to begin with, so it's not like looking at the sun was going to fuck him up even more.
I was going to say, if you want to blame somebody, try to sue him. He's got all the money. He looked at it. You say, I'm following by example.
Once again, Alex has some flawless logic in this week's Nerd News.
It works.
Universe.
It works.
That's right. Before we get out of here, I just want to bring attention to Jake Solo. I believe that's how he pronounces his name. I don't know. Jake, you can let me know in the comments on this episode. He says, from last week, awesome discussion as always, the behemoth gash talk as well as the Jacobo dick had me cackling and I got some odd looks while shopping. Also, thanks for being understanding and for identifying as being allies of the LGBTQ community. It's always good to know that there's people out there like y'all to support us. So thank you, Jake, for listening.
I'm all about that sweet, sweet behemoth gash.
And on that note,
there's a quote for the episode.
We want to thank everyone for joining us here on the Nerd News Universe this week. And where can the people find you online, Tristan?
You can find me on Twitter at Mr. Tristopher. You can also check out my presence on the other This Week in Geek show, Terrible Warriors.
Absolutely.
I'll be having an episode on there pretty soon, so check it out.
Cool. Alex, what about you?
Same goes for the show, but my Twitter handle is at Gravy Moose.
You can follow Mike Dodd. It's at Birdman Dodd across all social media, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, whatever.
At this point, we shouldn't even need to mention it. Everybody knows who he is.
Yeah, pretty much. And I am, of course, at TFG and Mike on Twitter. You can follow at This Week in Geek on Twitter as well. Thank you for joining us here on Twig's Nerd News Network. Join us next time to hear Alex say
something about gashes and yeah.
You've been on fire all episode, and you have nothing that you fail.
I'm debating how far I can go before we get pulled.
I'm the one that posts this crap. Ain't nobody pulling this off.
Oh,
anyway,
okay. Something about dead babies, I guess.
All right, Tristan. Anything? Please save us. Please.
What about the wiener?
What about the wiener?
Which one?
What about the wiener?
Which
I
one?
About,
I saw
I
a guy
about...
on TV lift a dumbbell with his.
Oh my god! Alright then. We'll be back with all the news you nerds want to know next week here on This Week in Geeks Nerd News Network.
News for you. The Night 2000 will be ready.
Shh, shh, shh. Job. Here.
don't you take a look? It isn't me.
Gives you a second chance to live. Unless, of course, you'd prefer to walk around with a face that might get you killed all over again.
You take my word, you'd be much safer with this face. And it's rather handsome, if I do say so myself.
Want to see me make bubbles with my spit?
Sure do. In fact, that's the theme of our next show. So don't miss it.
I have seen the mountaintops, and they are glorious.
You could go to sleep on top of them and be comfy.
Wait, wait, wait. Say that again, slowly.
Tristan, Andrew, Donald, William, Winkworth.
Tadworth.
It's a good thing you're not British, because you would almost be entitled to a crown.
Man, whoa, man, we had the best Chinese food. Tristan, have you had Double Dragon in this town?
I have not.
The little lady there, she's like, oh, yum, 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 I don't speak English, blah, 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 blah. Here's your food.
Insert offensive item right here.
Hey, don't look at me. I'm not putting them up to it. They just keep talking about me.
Pre-show? What was the pre-show? So everything you saw before that was pre the show, which makes a pre-show.
As you can imagine, they don't let us out much.
You've been listening to This Week in Geek. Tune in next week to hear, somebody random. I don't know. Maybe even a hot chick. Yeah, let's go with that.
Did anyone ever tell you that you were very, very sexy?
How are you? Actually, no.
They never will.
Check out our website, thisweekingeek.net, for more geek content, as well subscribe to our podcast through iTunes or any podcatcher. If you'd like to comment on this episode, head to this episode post on thisweekingeek.net and comment through Facebook Connect. Or you can call our voicemail line at 817-717-7202. Send us a Twitter message by replying to @thisweekingeek. Lastly, you can email us at feedback@thisweekingeek.net. This extra music was produced by Pronobozo at pronobozo.com. We'll see you next time, and remember...
Lower your shields and surrender your listenership.
That was wonderful!
Bravo!
I loved that!
Oh, it was great!
Well, it was pretty good.
Well, it wasn't bad.
Well, there were parts of it that weren't very good, though.
It could have been a lot better.
I didn't really like it.
It was pretty terrible.
It was bad.
It was awful!
I was terrible!
Get him away!
Hey, boo!
Boo!